Josh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 15 months after the Hamas sneak attack that unleashed Israel's fury on Gaza, Israel's cabinet approved the three-phase ceasefire hostage release deal. It should take effect Sunday.
Part one, we'll see a ceasefire, the withdrawal of Israeli troops from populated areas, and the gradual release of 33 hostages over a six-week period, including Americans Sagi Dekel-Chen and Keith Siegel, in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners.
ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv. Voting 9-0, the Supreme Court upheld federal law requiring TikTok's Chinese owners to sell to a U.S.-approved owner or face being banned in the U.S. It takes effect Sunday, President Biden leaving it to his successor to deal with it. The Justice Department in Sangamon County, Illinois, sheriff announced a deal in last summer's killing of Sonia Massey in her own home by a deputy after she had called for assistance. This is ABC News. The Justice Department issued a scathing report on the Louisiana State Police. ABC's Dave Packer with the story.
Federal investigators are accusing Louisiana State Police of widespread misconduct, including excessive force and misuse of stun guns. A new report says troopers often used force without warning, even on restrained individuals, creating a serious risk of harm to the public. The findings follow an investigation into Ronald Green's 2019 death, where officers beat and stunned him after a high-speed chase. In a statement, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry and Attorney General Liz Merle pushing back, calling the report an effort by the DOJ to push a political agenda. Dave Packer, ABC News.
As he delivered his farewell address at Fort Myer, Virginia, outgoing Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin waxed humorous.
This is actually my second ceremony retiring from the Department of Defense. And over the past 4 years, my wife Charlene has repeatedly pointed out to me that I failed retirement.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Ahead of President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration, thousands of people are protesting this weekend. Special teams have even made their way to D.C. to try to keep things peaceful without using force. Mike Moen reports.
Nonviolent Peace Force was invited by organizers of the People's March to ensure demonstrators feel safe as they express their views. The group's Anna Zero says they'll take a nonpartisan approach in helping out. They'll be on the spot to carry out de-escalation tactics if needed.
What we do is really about leaning into the humanity of other people, right? People often escalate because they're not being heard and because they feel vulnerable. So if we can reach out to that person proactively, if we see attention rising and listen to them, kind of divert the attention.
In 2017, before Trump's first inauguration, this event was called the Women's March, but has been rebranded as progressives worry about actions like mass deportations. Zero says preparation is key to setting a peaceful tone, noting they trained roughly 200 volunteers in recent weeks. She acknowledges in today's political climate it can be tricky to encourage tolerance, as a lot of people have strong feelings about where we are as a country. But she insists it's still worth it, even if it feels out of reach.
Sometimes the work of nonviolence can feel like, no, this isn't what we need. Our problems are too big. But that is exactly when we do need nonviolence, because when we see these fissures in our ability to relate to other human beings, nonviolence at its core is about being able to see that person for who they are.
She says building tolerance usually takes longer when teaching it to people surrounded by conflict. The weekend assistance won't foster deep political discussions if tension arises, but rather those on-the-spot efforts to lower the temperature. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a few flurries, a low in the low teens, windy with wind chills below zero. Partly sunny for tomorrow, high upper teens, wind chills near 5 below. Partly cloudy Sunday, high near zero, wind chill to 20 below. Right now it's 33.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will cover the inauguration in Washington, D.C., and also talk about who the next civil rights leader might be for Martin Luther King Day. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You are listening to pre-recorded content. Today we have Luke Mathers coming up a little bit later on this hour. Next hour, a specially curated hour of some of our favorite earlier shows. Stay tuned for that, but we have a big, big meeting today. So that is why you were listening to pre-recorded content. We will be back with you live coming up on Monday. We did not discuss this beforehand, and I think it's really important that we talk about it. This is something that incoming President Donald Trump promised on the campaign trail over and over and over again. Mass deportations. Day one.
Signs of the RNC saying deport now. I mean, it was zero-sum game. You are leaving. You are gone.
We have an article on Civic Media. We have a great news department, by the way, and they put together wonderful newscasts and wonderful articles on our website at civicmedia.us/news. The headline reads, how many undocumented people live and work in Wisconsin? This is from Hallie Claflin from Wisconsin Watch. From outdated and cautious estimates to a lack of monitoring by state agencies, it's tough to say for certain just how many immigrants who lack legal status are working in each industry. But this is something that I don't think is a surprise to anyone. This is widely known that there are undocumented immigrants working in many industries across the state and around the country.
Absolutely. It's the worst kept secret for some reason. Individuals who can go to the ballot box and vote for Donald Trump will be the same people who utilize undocumented labor to do the work that they can't get
us
Americans or whatever, you know, however you want to refer to us, to do. There's a disconnect and there's a haze around this, and I think there's going to be a reckoning, and people are going to sit there going, wait, what?
Well, just imagine your favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
And you go to your favorite restaurant and it's closed. And it's closed because all of its servers got deported.
Yeah.
All the busboys got deported.
Yeah.
This is going to have widespread ramifications for all of us. Yeah. Not to mention the amount of money that undocumented immigrants, because they still pay taxes.
Yes, they do.
How much they put into our economy. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But right now that we're talking about this article from Hallie Claflin from Wisconsin Watch on the Civic Media website. From outdated and cautious estimates of the number of illegal immigrants working in Wisconsin to a lack of monitoring by state agencies, it's tough to say just how many there are. Quantifying the undocumented population through surveys and studies is also difficult. The U.S. Census does not ask or estimate the number of undocumented immigrants. The Department of Homeland Security estimates in the U.S. there are about 11 million as of 2022. So what does this mean for Wisconsin? According to the nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute, an estimated 70,000 undocumented immigrants live in Wisconsin. About 47,000 of those are employed.
Mm-hmm.
And about two-thirds of those have been here in the U.S. for 10 years or more. Keep in mind, though, that information from the Migration Policy Institute is now over five years old.
Yeah, and that's important to say, too, about the percentage of those who work. That is generally the chief reason why they are coming to this country, to find work. They're not coming here to sit around and play video games. They're coming here and they find work all over the country.
And then they send money back home.
They send money back home. They try to bring, they find, and I bet you a lot of them would like to become citizens eventually. But that in itself is a whole other can of worms that I don't see Donald Trump putting high on his list to fix.
Well, I haven't heard anything, any solutions to this problem from the Republicans except mass deportations. There's nothing about, I don't know, paying for more immigration judges, paying for more, doing something to make this process less encumbered, because it's been this way for decades, and both sides have kicked this can down the road over and over and over again.
Absolutely. No one's going to like what I'm about to say, and I said this earlier this week on the show. When we talked to Dan Schaefer last week on Friday, there's a hard truth to the immigration issue that I think especially liberals, Democrats, the left do not want to face. Like it or not, and I would say most of us dislike it, Donald Trump's message resonates, and he's going to be closer to getting it done than Democrats have ever done for immigration ever. He has a goal, and that goal is to deport. He has a Congress and a Senate who will work to make that happen.
They will rubber stamp whatever he wants.
And if they even deport 10% of the immigrants, undocumented immigrants that they want to take care of, that will be their win. That will be their achievement, their mark of glory. They would have, in their minds, gotten something done. On the other side of the aisle, the left sits there, shrugs their shoulders, and this goes from Congress to the president, including Kamala Harris, I will say it, all have this, it's a really tough issue. We really have to work together. We have to get things done. We need to find common sense solutions. No, I want you to propose a solution. Give me pie in the sky. I don't care. Give me something
concrete, something that you've actually worked on and considered. Yes, it's been so disappointing, as you said, with the shoulder shrugs and the, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, no. Now we're here.
Yeah.
Now we're here. And this could have massive ramifications on businesses in Wisconsin. The top industries employing undocumented workers here in manufacturing, which is never the first one that people think of. They always think of dairy farms.
Yep.
Manufacturing is number one with an estimated 11,000 undocumented workers. Professional, scientific, management, administrative, and waste management services, about 8,000 undocumented workers. Food service, arts and entertainment, recreation, about 5,000. Construction industry, about 5,000 undocumented immigrants working in the construction industry. And then agriculture, also coming in at about 5,000 workers. So it is our manufacturers. Hello, WEC. Throwing it out there. Yeah, it's our manufacturers who are employing, at least according to this, the majority of undocumented workers in the country, and you can't tell me they don't know that.
No, like I said, it's the worst-kept secret. Everyone doesn't talk about it, but they know it. And even though we do think of farms almost immediately when we think of immigrant, undocumented migrant workers, things like that, I do want to put it back to the farm again and use your analogy in this situation. Okay, you go to a restaurant and they deport all the undocumented people, that restaurant most likely will close or be suffering or hurting in some way.
Yes.
Or raising their prices.
Yes.
Imagine one farm losing all of their workers. That is going to be very, very bad. Now imagine thousands of farms that lose their workforce. We are going to see price spikes that you have never seen before. They're going to either they're going to be closing down farms, consolidating, or trying to hire American workers who will not work for the wages that they're being offered now, and that's going to create the price spikes. So there's no win situation here in which Donald Trump's deport now is going to work for anybody. It's just going to make them feel really good.
Well, and it's interesting that you brought up about losing more farms. Because this has been a trend for the last 15, 20 years mm-hmm. where smaller family farms just can't make it
nope.
and are going out of business. And now I am wondering, because there have to be some people in this incoming administration who can look bigger picture on what this is going to mean if they actually do this. Mm-hmm. And now that you said it, I'm wondering, whose best interest is this in? The big corporate farms. Yeah. Nothing would work out better for them than to see all of these smaller farms mm-hmm. lose their workers and then have to go to consolidation.
Yes.
That would make them really, really happy.
Buying land, buying equipment, buying crops, buying supplies, pennies on the dollar, these 3, 4, and 5 generation farmsteads going the way of the dodo. They have no compunction on making that happen. They would love nothing more. And don't tell me that these big corporate farm companies also aren't hiring undocumented immigrants, who I'm sure at the last minute, Donald Trump will come up with something. Well, if you employ X amount of farmhands or more, simply apply for this visa, apply for this permit, apply for this pass, and you'll be good to go. These farms that are a mom and dad and 3 farmhands, they're done.
Well, and I would also, and again, this is my own bias, but I think if you donated to Donald Trump, your business will be safe. He's not going to touch your undocumented workers.
No, no.
He's going to go after, if you didn't make a donation to the Trump campaign, you do him no good.
We'll get back to you on that. For now, just prepare for the worst and yeah. expect maybe the best. I don't know. It's.
A survey done in 2023 by the UW-Madison School for Workers found that over 10,000 undocumented workers perform around 70% of the labor on Wisconsin's dairy farms. Researchers concluded that without them, the entire dairy industry will collapse overnight.
Yeah.
This is going to have massive, massive ramifications.
We've talked to Pam Yonke about this, Hans Breitenmoser. We've talked to Darren Von Ruden about this.
Yes.
And they've all agreed that to just systematically, summarily subtract the workforce, which is undocumented, from the farming just in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to cause the collapse of I would say the economy. And I know that sounds dramatic and scary. It's both of those things.
All I want to say as we wrap this up is it's not undocumented workers who are stealing from you.
No.
It's the tech bros and the oligarchs and the billionaires.
And the politicians who sell you the idea that undocumented immigrants are dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay with us when we return. Samuel Alito and Pornhub. Never thought I'd say that together. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit UNCF.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
The
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You are listening to pre-recorded content. We have a very big, important meeting here today across Civic Media. It's a spa day, and then we're going to have a brief period where they're going to beat us about the face and neck with sticks, but that's fine.
Until morale improves.
That's right. It only happens once a year, so it's fine. Luke Mathers will be coming up in just a little bit. We're going to talk about Sean Duffy, former Wisconsin congressman, and apparently heading for a role in the next Trump administration. He has lots of experience on roads. He's driven on roads.
Some would say he thinks roads rule.
One could say that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about Luke Mathers with Luke Mathers. Those are the words.
Words are tough.
Words in order are difficult. Right now, though, didn't get to this yesterday because of the breaking news about Bob Uecker, but I just think it's too interesting to pass up. From a publication called thecut.com, headline reads, from Olivia Craighead, Justice Alito asks if you can read Pornhub for the articles. Earlier this week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case challenging a Texas law requiring age verification for a porn site. This requires all websites that have over one-third sexual material harmful to minors use reasonable age verification methods to determine if users are over the age of 18. Texas says the law protects children because they're all about protecting children, Greg, except from guns. While the adult entertainment industry says this is a violation of the First Amendment. So where does Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito come down on this? He's wondering if maybe the articles on Pornhub should be an exception, like the old Playboy magazine. Here's the quote. Is it like the old Playboy magazines? Alito asked Derek Schaefer, the attorney representing the adult film industry. You have essays there by modern day equivalents of Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley Jr. Alito trying to ascertain how much content on Pornhub might not be considered obscene to children. Schaefer notes that the site does host sexual wellness posts and how women postmenopausal and posthysterectomy can enjoy sex, but I don't know that they have any equivalents, modern day equivalents of Gore Vidal and Bill Buckley Jr., unless you're going to consider Andrew Tate up there.
Well, two thoughts I have on this. You could absolutely read Pornhub for the articles if you switch the closed captioning on. Two.
So it's more like narration.
Exactly. There was a knock on the door. There was holding a pizza.
There's actually dialogue?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Second of all, Judge Alito, don't act like you never looked. Don't act like it.
No, he never looked.
Please, you got computers. You got iPads and phones and whatnot.
Calvin, sorry to drag you into this. As a resident young person, do you know people who frequent Pornhub?
I mean, I think that's not something that's a big topic of conversation.
Doesn't come up very often.
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall like point Alito is making is somewhat interesting in relation to how the law is written, but yeah, it sounds ridiculous.
They don't have deep thought articles on Pornhub, Sam. Come on.
I don't know, honestly. Like, now, I'm just like,
what? You're right. I shouldn't say I don't know this for sure. I've never gone there.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's funny that he asks in such a do they have articles? And he brings up Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley Jr. Wow. He's very, very educated.
Gore Vidal is an interesting person for him to bring up, too.
Gore Vidal would have hated Samuel. He would have hated most of that court.
Yeah, pretty much. And this goes back to Playboy's, at least in my estimation.
Yeah.
Those articles were put in there as a distraction to all the naked ladies.
Did a really terrible job of distracting.
It was, but that was the excuse. I don't look at the, you know, I only get Playboy for the articles.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you
no,
do.
No, no. I mean, it was always tried to be pushed as high class and, and you know, you read it with your pinky out.
And tea.
But this is just, I don't know. It's like you stepped in it, Samuel. You stepped in it by asking this question. Did the lawyer at least answer? Did he say like?
I have not seen any rebuttals from this attorney for Pornhub. Again, they're talking about a Texas law requiring age verification for porn sites. Texas requires all sites with over one third sexual material harmful to minors use an age verification method to determine that users are over 18, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito laser focused on whether or not there are some really good articles that you can read there too.
I just want to know how they do an age verification beyond, because like,
are you 18?
Yeah, like, because on like beer websites, they're like, what's your age? And they want to make sure you're 21. And you just put in whatever. And,
so, which means you can lie.
Yeah. And I could talk more about this and say some pretty unsavory, offensive things to people, but I'm not going to.
Well, we're not at an Eagles game.
Oh, boom, arrested. Jane for the field goal win.
I thank you so much. When we return, Luke Mathers will join us. We're going to talk about Sean Duffy, his hearing to become head of the Department of Transportation. You are listening to pre-recorded content. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 15 months after the Hamas sneak attack that unleashed Israel's fury on Gaza, Israel's cabinet approved the three-phase ceasefire hostage release deal. It should take effect Sunday.
Part one, we'll see a ceasefire, the withdrawal of Israeli troops from populated areas, and the gradual release of 33 hostages over a six-week period, including Americans Sagi Dekel-Chen and Keith Siegel, in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners.
ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv. Voting 9-0, the Supreme Court upheld federal law requiring TikTok's Chinese owners to sell to a U.S.-approved owner or face being banned in the U.S. It takes effect Sunday, President Biden leaving it to his successor to deal with it. The Justice Department in Sangamon County, Illinois, sheriff announced a deal in last summer's killing of Sonia Massey in her own home by a deputy after she had called for assistance. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers fire a coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Although the Packers' defense improved the past year, there's been criticism they didn't put enough pressure on quarterbacks. Defensive line coach Jason Rebovich fired after 3 years in Green Bay. Meanwhile, defensive back Jaire Alexander has missed nearly half the games the past two seasons due to injury. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, will Jaire be back?
You know, we're at the beginning stages of just kind of gathering information as a whole, you know, before we started looking at next year and how we're going to lay this thing out.
And Bob Uecker has died after a two-year battle with lung cancer. Uecker would have been 91 next Saturday.
You know, he beat pancreatic cancer, which nobody beats. But he had another cancer now, and he did the job right to the end, which is extraordinary. And I kept trying to tell him to slow down, Kirk. There were days he would go have radiation treatment and then come to the ballpark and broadcast a game. It's unbelievable.
That's Brewers owner Mark Antanasio with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a few flurries, a low in the low teens, windy with wind chills below zero. Partly sunny for tomorrow, high upper teens, wind chills near 5 below. Partly cloudy Sunday, high near zero, wind chill to 20 below. Current temp is 30.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You are listening to pre-recorded content. We have a big meeting today across the network. It's actually a spa day.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to talk about that. And then there is a brief period where they will beat us about the face and neck with sticks, but that's just, you know, it's once a year. It's not so bad. So, yes, you are listening to pre-recorded content. We will be back live with you coming up on Monday. Right now, though, we are joined by our friend and colleague, Luke Mathers, is here. Good morning, Lukester. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jane. How are you doing?
We are good. Wanted to start off with, and I think with all of the breaking news and the news cycle being what it is, things get missed and things get skipped. And we did want to acknowledge that President Joe Biden gave his farewell address from the Oval Office last night for his last opportunity to address the nation as president of the United States. The president, speaking from behind the Resolute desk, sounded an alarm about, quote, a dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people, unquote, which the president said risks undermining the very fabric of American life. According to President Biden, today an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead. I don't think he's wrong. No. Look at Elon Musk. Look at Peter Thiel. Look at Jeff Bezos, who are all going to be up on the dais with him on Monday for the inauguration because they all gave him $1 billion. It's the best government money can buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting that this quickly after the Citizens United decision that came down in 2010, that all of a sudden we're seeing how much money can affect our political system here in America.
Yeah, the fact that the Supreme Court decided that money equals speech will probably go down as the beginning of the end of our democratic republic.
Yeah.
Again, just like you said about the president's speech, no lie detected.
He served an honorable 4 years.
And I can't wait to see.
10 years from now.
10 years from now. I'm going to say 5 years from now, honestly. But I think between 5 to 10 years from now, the legacy of this president will be one of absolute. It'll be one of absolute triumph. And I think slight embarrassment for the fact that we're like, oh, remember when we said the economy sucked? Yeah, we kind of wrong on that one.
Yeah, kind of wrong on that one. History, we will see. We will see how history reports all of this as we get a little bit further away. While you're here, Luke, though, we did want to talk about the president-elect's cabinet picks going before senators for their hearings. Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy. Here's the headline from WPR from Nick Rommel. Sean Duffy sails through committee hearing for cabinet job. Questions touched on airplane safety and rural infrastructure. Former Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy got affirmation from senators of both parties at his Senate committee hearing on Wednesday. Both Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin introduced Sean Duffy yesterday.
I got no words. I am so.
There's so many transportation related puns that you could have with that headline, though. Sailing, come on, you had to really go with sailing. it could have been cruise control or, you know, autopilot. There's so many other things that could be related.
So much potential there. Yes, because right if you're unclear, Sean Duffy is up for it to head the Department of Transportation.
And they really put that confirmation hearing. The pedal to the metal, really. It's
nice. Nice. You. They were choo-chooing ahead.
That's what it feels like, though. Yeah. There's so many confirmation hearings this week. So many.
Sorry, Luke, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just it is hard to believe that the Wisconsin Connection one, it almost went under the radar for me because I did not know that this was taking place yesterday until I saw it kind of after the fact.
Well, and really, I mean, it's one of those low bar ones that's not really controversial in the grand scope of all of these nominations. And we were talking about it earlier on Pat's show, and he got no pushback. Nobody questioned his qualifications. And I have to say, I expected that from the Republicans. When you have a Republican senator saying, how many push-ups do you do in the morning to Pete Hegseth? I don't expect much from the GOP side of the confirmation hearing, but the Democrats have just been laying down and taking it. Like, they are afraid to say boo to a lot of these. I mean, Pete Hegseth, you can say a lot too, and they did, but he's going to get in.
He is going to get in.
But Sean Duffy has no qualification to be the Secretary of Transportation.
But he's driven on roads.
Some would say he thinks roads rule.
I'm sure he's been on a plane. So therefore, he knows all about planes.
He can spell plane, both versions.
He can spell plane. Answering questions from Senator Sean Duffy pledged his support for ongoing federal infrastructure projects across the country and prescribed tough love for Boeing. Boeing, of course, having a couple problems over the last couple of months and years. I don't know, doors falling off mid-flight, that's bad.
Falling off, that's a generous...
Blowing off? Yeah.
flying off.
Yeah, just flying off.
Did he give a definition of tough love?
He did not go into specifics. And again, talking about the Democrats just seemingly rolling over for this.
Yep.
Senator Tammy Baldwin called Duffy the right person for this job in the upcoming administration. Tammy Baldwin recalled working with Duffy to replace an 86-year-old bridge in St. Croix County, a project she called not a matter of right and left. None of these infrastructure projects are a matter of right and left.
No. And they
it's about for the people, for the good of the people.
And it doesn't make me go, oh, really? You guys worked on a bridge? Give them the job. All right.
Yeah, it's tough to see where the bar is and seemingly how low it is for some of these cabinet appointments. It is, I think, very important for us to remember as Wisconsinites, as American citizens, these folks work for us.
Yeah.
Ostensibly, they work for us.
They work for us. And this is the type of essentially job interview that we, the American people, are acceptable with being conducted. We are taking this as you both said, most of these picks are going to get through. I think just assuming the inevitability of all of these confirmations is something that we need to see more pushback on. Mm-hmm. When there are unqualified individuals seeking some of these highest jobs, like the Department of Defense Secretary is not only a cabinet level secretary, they are the individual responsible and for the management of a bureaucracy that employs 3 million Americans around the entire country and around the entire globe. And for us to be like, how many push-ups can you do as part of the job interview? That should upset people, like how a bridge is not a left or right issue. This isn't a left or right issue. Yeah. That should be unacceptable regardless of where you sit on the political spectrum.
Well, but you could say the same thing about the incoming president. No corporation would hire a man with his background. No one.
No.
With the number of claims of sexual assault and predatory behavior, cheating contractors, stiffing contractors. Nobody at a regular business would allow that kind of background check and hire that person. And as far as I'm concerned, the same thing goes for Pete Hegseth, who has no qualifications to run that department, none, except he will do exactly what Trump tells him to do, no matter what.
Well, it's funny, Luke, you bring up the word bureaucracy, because that's one thing they couldn't shut up about yesterday, and about tearing through the bureaucracy of the Defense Department. No, I want bureaucracy. I want there to be slow-moving processes within there, because if you don't, bad decisions from bad people can be made and put forth. Like, I don't know, having a guy who shouldn't be running this entire department bootlicking the incoming president. And also just the matter of fact that we're like, I don't disagree, Luke. We should be outraged. And I am. I'm really mad. But like, I'm literally watching this happen. And when we talk about lowering the bar, the Democrats and the Republicans are picking the bar up together and putting it on the floor. This is the worst kind of bipartisanship.
Yeah. It absolutely is. And it needs to be talked about, though, because if we're pretending that this is the new normal, if we're going to pretend like all of this is just inevitable, it then will be one of those self-fulfilling prophecies where it's like, oh, yep, what could we do? And so there needs to be people. I've seen a lot of folks that are still engaging with their elected officials. They're calling their congressmen and women. They're calling their U.S. senators. They're saying, hey, this needs to be held up to more scrutiny. And so there is still a role that we play as citizens, and we need to be engaged. And there's not a lot of signs that engagement is happening. And that's what's unfortunate right now, is we're seeing a lot of people turn away and they're disengaging, and they're saying, you know what?
I give up.
Fine. I'm going to sit this next one out.
2024 was a lot for people. I understand that.
It was.
But you got to get off the bench.
But it's very much one of those things where the only way out is through in a lot of this. Yep. And so you have to participate. You have to lean in. You have to find the ways that work for you. And it's going to be different for everybody. But getting organized, getting involved, creating community, and finding ways that we can make progress is going to be really, really important these next couple of years.
And as Luke mentioned, don't forget, you can always call your representative directly. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to do that, go to myvote.wy.gov. All you have to do is type in your address, and every single person who represents you yep. is going to come up along with their contact information. And I highly encourage you to utilize that. Be polite. But call and express your concerns.
I would also suggest, it's still up, civicmedia.us/vote. Not only can you have access to things like My Vote, but you can also find wonderful articles, pieces that will get you informed of what's going on with you. And signing up, honestly, for our newsletter. This is not, it sounds like a plug. It is. But we have a newsletter you can customize to your area.
Where
you can find
out
where what's going on where you live with regard to elected officials, decisions. I mean, we've
talked.
Sports, but like really those, you know, nobody below a 4-star general should be near the Department of Defense as far as being the secretary. And the fact that this Fox weekend news host washout is getting the opportunity makes me so mad. And Luke, you're right. I'm mad that I'm even more mad that more people aren't mad.
Well, and I think it's time, Greg, that we stop being polite and we start getting real.
Yeah!
For folks that aren't aware, that is a real world reference, which the now incoming Department of Transportation Secretary got his claim.
That's where Shawnee and Rachel met.
Yes, the love story of the ages. Isn't that something?
I'm more of a Judd, and I can't remember his wife's name, but still. Yeah,
I was more of the Austin Texan season than the Boston season myself.
True. But,
and that's right about when I stopped watching.
Well, why discriminate against a reality TV contestant when that's who we've got for president?
I mean, yes, you're absolutely right. And what really scares me on top of what you said, Luke, was the fact that people are worn out from 2024. I mean, there was so much energy and excitement, and to see it dash so quickly. But then on top of that, he has been in our zeitgeist for 10 years. He has allowed that behavior to be normalized by his closest followers. And then you go down one rung, the ones they're indoctrinating now, and then further and further, to the point where you look at these video feeds of schools voting in colleges, and you're like, I didn't want to assume they were for Kamala. I just thought they were smarter than us. But there were so many young people who were just like, I love Trump. He's cool. I think The Rock's cool. I don't want to be president.
We're going to continue our conversation with our friend and colleague, Luke Mathers. Wisconsin legislature back in session addressing things Wisconsinites really want accomplished. Yeah, that's not true. We'll kick that around coming up next. You are listening to pre-recorded content. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you
yes.
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You are listening to pre-recorded content. During today's program, we have a special hour for you coming up next hour after the top of the hour news. Some of our favorite pieces from earlier in the week, including Beyond the Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring knit hats made right here in Wisconsin. We're joined right now by our friend and colleague Luke Mathers here on Civic Media. Wanted to kick around a little bit. Wisconsin legislature finally back in session after a long, 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 long multi-month vacation. And what are they concentrating on? What are they zeroing in on that's really important to Wisconsin residents? Is it clean water? Is it funding child care? Is it, closing hospitals? No, not at all. They're concerned about limiting abortion yet again. Whew. Yes, lots of Wisconsinites not calling for this. Republican lawmakers who control the state legislature may pursue legislation barring women from seeking abortions after 14 weeks if the state Supreme Court preserves access as part of a lawsuit before the high court. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu appeared on WISN-TV's Upfront show. We believe we have a clip from that, Calvin. Can we play that clip, please?
But when they make a ruling, finally, if they do at some point, then we'll see what the ruling is and respond at that point.
So it's potential that there could be an abortion ban that the Senate proposes?
It could be a 14, if they make abortion legal full term, or if they keep it at the 20-week, we could try to do it to 14 weeks. At that point, we'll try build consensus and see where our caucus is at, see where the assembly's at.
So if they did keep it at 20 weeks, there would at least be the discussion to potentially restrict it even further?
Correct.
Build consensus within their caucus, not the consensus of the Wisconsin people.
No, they don't care about us.
So far, let's see here. So far, the number one issue is voter ID on our Wisconsin state constitution, and now reactionary legislation to the Wisconsin Supreme Court's decision on abortion access. Cool. Good to know, DD. I love the work you're doing in the state Senate. Knocking it out of the park.
And I swear, and we've talked to Dr. Kristen Lierley about this and Dr. Laura Hanks, 14 weeks is a number they just pick out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing medical about that point in a pregnancy. They just picked it out of the sky because they think it sounds good.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming also that should they come up with something like this and they send it to the governor, Governor Evers is going to veto it.
Yep.
So once again, let's spend more time wasting taxpayer dollars, our money, pushing forward the Republican caucus agenda, not the Wisconsin constituent agenda.
Yep.
We can always... Go ahead, Luke.
Go ahead, Jane. Oh, we're doing a little jigs back and forth. But it is very, very telling that these are the takeaways that the Republican lawmakers here in Madison have decided to have since 2018. Since 2018, Wisconsinites have been saying that we want change in the way that our state government is run.
Yes.
From 2010 until 2018, there was unified Republican control. And since then, voters have, at statewide elected offices, overwhelmingly sent Democratic candidates for statewide. Governor Evers, then Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, now Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Secretary of the Treasury, and now the Secretary of State, Sarah Gottlewski. Like, there are statewide Democratic elected officials that are trying to take the state in a different direction. And for the first time since we've had these fair maps, we now saw the slimmest margin in the state legislature that we've had over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Republican lawmakers are desperate to cling to any sort of power. And rather than work together with Democratic lawmakers and Democratic officials at the state level, elected Republican officials are saying, no, we're going to do what we want to do.
Well, again, and I've said this for years, they know better, Luke. The constituents might want one thing, but Robin Voss and Devin Lemahue and all those guys, they know better. They know what's best for us, and therefore they're going to do what they think is right. I don't care what they don't care what we think. As their constituents, they know best.
Robin Voss says he believes in a representative democracy, but is not representing the people. And you can see it in what they want to push, which is reactionary and mean-spirited, and just frankly will pose health hazards if they have their 14-week abortion ban in this state. And it's just absolutely antithetical of what the people are asking for, which, as Luke said, is change.
Luke, we got about 2 minutes left. We lost Bob Uecker at the age of 90. Mr. Baseball, nobody else like him. You're a big baseball fan. What are some of your favorite memories in the time we have left?
One of my first memories ever, like, of coming into existence, one of the oldest things that I can remember, about 4 years old, walking through the tunnel out to the field.
Nice.
At County Stadium. And so to have a icon like Bob Uecker be on the call for so many years as a Milwaukee Brewers fan has been one of the biggest treats of sport, like of all of sports. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal man, a phenomenal broadcaster, a phenomenal storyteller.
Yes.
And the fact that the Brewers had him for so long is such a treat, and he is going to be deeply, deeply missed.
There will never be another Uecker. Luke Mathers, thank you so much for joining us. We have news coming up next. You are listening to pre-recorded content. This is Matt Nair on air on this Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Israel's full cabinet signed off on the three-phase Gaza hostage release ceasefire deal. Phase one supposed to start Sunday.
The release of the first hostages, 33 of them, are set to be freed over the next 6 weeks in exchange for hundreds of Palestinians that Israeli officials have imprisoned. There have been a lot of challenges in reaching this point, but this again is just the start of the first phase of this agreement. There are still several more phases.
ABC's Selena Wang with much of the U.S. about to get a crippling blast of Arctic air, President-elect Trump ordered Monday's inauguration moved indoors under the Capitol Rotunda, the Capitol One Arena, to be open for a live viewing. The Biden administration announced that weight loss diabetes drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy are now on Medicare's list of medications whose prices will be negotiated directly with the pharmaceuticals. 25 medications now on that list. This is ABC News. Confirmation hearing for Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
Being safe within our borders here in America is critical.
The president-elect has promised mass deportations.
Trump was elected with a clear mandate. He needs to achieve this mission because two-thirds of Americans support his immigration and border policies, including the majority of Hispanic Americans.
She got pressed on a few things. One, how would the administration logistically try to pull off this massive campaign promise of Trump's mass deportations to the tune of trying to deport the 11 million or so undocumented immigrants in this country generally? How much would that cost? How it would be pulled off?
ABC's Jay O'Brien, a federal jury in Grand Rapids, Michigan, convicted Jesus Gaitan Garcia in a $700,000 theft from the Four Winds Casino in Hartford, Michigan in 2023, scamming an employee into stuffing the cash into a handbag and driving to Gary, Indiana to give it to him. Richard Cantu.
Mino and the Mayor.
Landon Jones, his commercial is a semifinalist for Doritos and could air during the Super Bowl.
I was sitting on the couch, I was eating some Doritos, I just had one in my hand, I was looking at it. Well, what if my hand got bigger? And then I was like, okay, well, what would happen if I ate it? Okay, the head would get bigger. And then, you know, I kind of went down the rabbit hole.
Man, I wonder if it would work there.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter,